Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. I'd like to start today with a scripture from Romans chapter 15, beginning at verse 5. Paul says this, "May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus, that together with one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." What I'd like to focus on to begin with is, what does Paul call God here? The title he gives him is the God of steadfastness and encouragement. And I'm so thankful for that, because in the work of the ministry that we have to do for Christ individually, in the work that God has given you to do, it can be hard sometimes. The way of the ministry is difficult, as Jesus said a few moments ago in the gospel, and as it's experienced in your lives, and as we've seen elsewhere in the scriptures. Advancing the kingdom is God's work for all of us, but sometimes the way is hard. We have to come up against sin, which is all around us and in us, in the old nature. We have to come up against the world, where we see sin just wickedness, it seems, multiplying and things going crazy out there in the world today. And we have to come up against the devil, who comes up against us as we fight the good fight of the faith. And sometimes in our ministry, we have great experiences, like Vacation Bible School, like we had this last week. But then we don't get the families for the rest of the year. That can be disheartening. You have Scottish Games, where we put a lot of effort into, and we get some good, great ministry there. But how many come to church on account of it? The radio show I do each Sunday. You know, we only get a few calls in to the radio, even though it may be reaching tens of thousands of people. But only a few calls. And isn't this the way it goes for your ministry too? Do you sometimes get tired and say, "Where's the fruit, Lord? How do I keep a good heart?" As Paul says, we're always of good courage. Do you at times get discouraged or disheartened in your faith as you look at all the work that the Lord's given you to do, and yet you see so little fruit coming from it? Well, remember, Paul says God is the God of all steadfastness and encouragement. What I'd like to talk with you about today is not losing heart. Let me change that. Never losing heart in ministry, in your work for Christ, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. And so let's talk today about how God would encourage us, as he says in Romans chapter 12, "Never flag in zeal, be aglow with the Spirit, serve the Lord." Are you glowing today? Well, let's see if the Lord, through his word and through his servant, can cause you to grow and glow and not lose heart. In number one thing that God would say to us today to help us to never be discouraged or disheartened in our labors for Christ would be this. "Don't you know, my children, that this is the common experience of all the saints? Even the greatest among my children had times where they got disheartened in their work for me." So it's not strange then if you at times should be disheartened as well. Let's take a look at a couple of examples just to see what kind of company you're in if at times you feel like the labor is tough and the day is hard and the heat of the day is difficult. All right? Let's take a look. Of course, heat of the day and she's putting on a sweater. That's no problem. It's all right. No problem. Moses in Numbers 11 says, "Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, every man at the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord blazed hotly, and Moses was displeased." Why? Check it out. Moses, of all people, should he be discouraged? I mean, come on. Signs and wonders in Egypt. He saw a burning bush that was not burnt, and the Lord spoke to him. He actually went up to an ocean and said, "Part," and it parted for him. Should such a man get discouraged? He had little fruit with the people. They weren't even changed by all these things. So no doubt if you're having difficulty, because it says, Moses says to the Lord, "Why hast thou dealt ill with thy servant? And why have I not found favor in thy sight? And you do lay this heavy burden of all this people upon me. Did I conceive this people? Did I bring them forth? Did I should say to me, carry them in your bosom, as a nurse carries the sucking child to the land which thou didst swear to give to their fathers? I'm not able to carry all this people alone, and the burden's too heavy for me. If thou wilt deal thus with me, kill me at once, if I found favor in thy sight, that I may not see my wretchedness. I mean, come on. If you're having difficulty, well, sit down at table with Moses and have lunch and talk about it, because he went through all amazing things that you haven't even seen. And yet he had a point where he said, Lord, kill me. I can't bear the burden of the day. This is difficult. But what was God's word to him? Moses says, I'm done. God says, no, you're not done. I'll take some of the spirit that's upon you and place it upon 70 of the elders, and they'll shoulder the burden with you. Go on, Moses. How about another one here? See that you're in good company. Elijah. I mean, he actually raised somebody from the dead once, said, get up, and the person got up. That's pretty amazing. And at another point, he called fire down from heaven, and the fire took away the burnt offering. I mean, this is amazing. He preached to all Israel, saying, come back to the Lord. You'd think of all people, he should have been just happy, happy, happy all the time, as the song goes. But what does it say in 1 Kings, chapter 19? After he called fire down from heaven, Queen Jezebel was after him, threatening to kill him. And it says, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, came and sat down under a broom tree, and he asked that he might die, saying, it's enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I'm no better than my fathers. Disheartened? Another one saying, kill me, Lord. The burden's too heavy for me of the work that you've given me. But what's God's reply to him? It says, go and stand upon the mount of the Lord. And then he saw, what, wind and an earthquake, then fire, then a still small voice. And God says, go anoint Hazael king over Assyria. God, I'm done. No, you ain't. No, you're not done. And then he said, I have kept for myself 7,000 others who have not bowed their knees to Baal either, when Elijah thought he was the only one left. So God is the God of all steadfastness and encouragement. Consider Paul also. He says, as opposed to the other disciples, apostles even, he says, I worked harder than any of them. If anybody's working hard, it was Paul in the Bible. Nobody could match him. But what's he say of the Jews, who he was ministering to day after day? He says, I'm speaking the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brethren, my kinsmen by race, the Jews. You think he had a rosy life because he was working for the Lord? The burden of the Lord is hard upon him. And it's difficult sometimes. He felt over the Christians in Galatia who had believed. He said in Galatians 4, I'm afraid I've labored over you in vain, my little children, with whom I'm again in travail until Christ be formed in you. I wish I were present with you now and could change my tone, for I'm perplexed about you. You ever feel like this? You know, we're going through ministry. We're doing pretty well. We're serving the Lord. But then something happens that really sets us back. We think, oh, man, Lord, how can I go on? Every time I take a step forward, it's two steps back. The devil comes and hits hard. But God says, you're not done. As he said to Paul, when he said, remove my thorn, God says, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. And Paul then could say, we're afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Is that your heart? Because he says we're always of good courage. We never lose heart. How about Jesus? One more. See if you're in good company or not on the day when you're downhearted. Jesus, at one point, in Mark chapter 3, goes to heal a man's hand. And he asks the people whether it's right to do this on the Sabbath. And he looked around and nobody answered him a word. What's it say in the scriptures? Jesus looked around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart, and said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored. Oh, Jerusalem, stoning the prophets that I send you, how often I would have gathered you, and you would not. So, number one point, if you're feeling disheartened, discouraged at times in your ministry, I don't know that you are today or not, but if you are, and the time when you are discouraged, understand this. God says, you're not finished yet. Look, this is the common experience of every one of my servants, even the best of them. Those who raise the dead, those who can part oceans with a word, were disheartened. So don't feel strange if you sometimes feel this way, my little children. Go on, for the prize awaits. Which leads to the second point. Consider the end of all these people who said, God, kill me. What was their end? Moses brought the people to the promised land. He made it. Elijah was taken up to heaven in a chariot of fire. He never died. He found the end of his race. Paul says, I fought the good fight. Henceforth, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness. And Jesus, it says in Hebrews 12, for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and now is seated at the right hand of God. So, if the race is weary, difficult, you feel set back at times, join the club, okay? I feel that way sometimes too. We had a great ministry with Michael recently, a boy who's coming here, and recently we've heard his parents are not allowing him to come anymore at this time. I could take that as a real setback. It set me down for a whole week because I love this little child. And he was really growing with us. But at the same time, when I came in here on Wednesday night, and I was choked up, could hardly speak on the Wednesday night service, I looked at the cross and God says, you got more in you than that, right? We don't give up just because we have a hit or two. And God says, take it up to the next level. Increase your ministry with him through prayer. And I ask you all to do the same. So whenever we're set back, let's remember that the Lord calls us on. He's the God of all steadfastness and encouragement. But how about this? You think, but we've labored so much. How about when we do the Scottish Highland Games Children's Festival? We put a lot of effort into that, right? It gears us up. Is that work that's pleasing to the Lord, even if so few come? Well, let's look at what Luther said. He said, we preachers, basically, and Christians, must imagine that we're in a shipwreck or in a fire where one must labor to snatch at least one brand from the burning if it's impossible to control or extinguish the whole blaze. If you're a preacher of the gospel, then don't preach as if you could win everyone for Christ, for not all obey the gospel. But give thanks if you can lead to Christ and convert three or four souls as of smoking brands. For you must not stop because so few are improved by the preaching of the gospel, but do as Christ did. He took the elect, let the rest go. So too with the apostles. Your lot will be no better. You're stupid if you presume to do everything alone or despair if you don't have everything in succeeding. So let's think about that for a moment. We had VBS this last week. Was that good? Great ministry? We had a great time? Were the children touched? At one point, little Jazzy, Laverne's granddaughter, came out in the morning, Pastor Greg, like that. And Beth said, hold on to that, Greg. And I said, oh, yeah. Another little girl told me, Amelia, told me about how she said, I went up to heaven once and saw God in the sky. I flew up on a bird and I accidentally saw God. And I hold on to things like that because I know the Lord's word never returns to him void. How many of the parents are here this Sunday with their children? I don't know. Are there anybody here? Is that going to discourage me? I'm reaching in, knowing the Lord's word never returns to him void. Why? For the sake of the few. For the sake of the few. You got to hold them in your hearts. When I was in Gettysburg, in the ELCA, hammered side on every side with false doctrine, you know, what kept me going was there's a congregation out there that's waiting me. That otherwise, if I don't get there, then they'll have some other person who may not preach to them the word. That kept me going for the sake of the few. And isn't this the way it was with the apostles? Romans 11, Paul says, now I'm speaking to you Gentiles, and as much as then as I'm an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry in order to make my fellow Jews jealous and thus save... what? Some of them. That was his attitude. I'm going to save some of them. 1 Corinthians 9, to the weak I became weak that I might win the weak. I become all things, all men, that I might all, by all means save some. Some. And also, Acts 17, Paul preached about the resurrection of the dead. Huge Billy Graham crusade, thousands listening to him. It says, when they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some mocked him. Others said, we'll hear you more about this. And so Paul went out from among them, but some men joined him and believed. Among them, Dionysius, the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. Scottish Highland Games, 2 years ago, we put forward $3,000 we raised. Lots of effort. 73 children came. Where were they all the next Sunday? Well, you know what? Two little kids came. Brittany and Dale, still wearing their Scottish Games shirts and sweatshirts. Where are they today, by the way? That family, the Mattinglys? Oh, wait a second. They're still here. Isn't that beautiful? You know, if we do these kinds of things in our ministry as Christ Lutheran for one child or one person, one man or one woman, that's enough. Although we want to save as many as we possibly can in the whole world, if the Lord would permit. But I'll do that, and I'll stand here for one. Let me tell you a story of a preacher friend I have up in St. Louis. His church in East St. Louis, which is a real down-and-out part of St. Louis, didn't like him, didn't want anything to do with his ministry. And he decided to do some Wednesday Advent services. So what did he do? He went there, sat down in a huge church, can seat 500 people, sat down at the altar himself. There was nobody there. Nobody came, but he said, I'm going to keep coming. Even if nobody comes here, I'm going to be here. And then the next day, nobody. Again, he said, I'm giving up. What am I going to do? Discouraged. Came in the third day, sat there. The door was open to the church. 500 capacity, no one there. A car drove by. A car came back. A little 11-year-old girl came in and said, can I sit down and talk with you? And from that, he got a ministry with 12 youth group children in the days following. But you know, God a lot of times sends you out saying they're not going to listen to you, right? Can you go out when God tells you to go work for the ministry and he says, but they won't listen? Most of them anyway. How about Moses? Go to Pharaoh, but he won't listen to you. Jeremiah, go to the people, but they won't listen to you. They haven't listened to me for years, right? Isaiah 6, go to the people, but make the heart of this people fat, for they won't hear me, and they won't turn to be healed. Jesus, go to the people, but he says, I've come for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, right? So don't let numbers and that whole big game be any part of your discouragement. A lot of, you know, every other business in the world, you know, air conditioners, I fixed this many air conditioners today. Carpenter, I've made this many buildings or this many walls or put in this many windows today. Business, these are my profits for the year. Church, it's invisible, our work. I can labor 20 hours on a sermon a week, go away at the end of the week and I say, I believe it took, but I don't know. You know, because I can't see in the same way that you deal with the world. But put all that thoughts out of you. Because with the Lord, we're doing a higher ministry, a spiritual ministry that can't be seen. But this is my faith. Is as it says in Isaiah 55, as the rain and snow come down from heaven and return not thither, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread for the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth, says the Lord. It shall not return to me empty, but shall accomplish that which I purpose and prosper in the thing for which I sent it. And what I'm thankful for today is that I am not simply working for people to serve them, although that's my aim, is to love, serve, and preach the word to people. But really, my boss, my commander, is God. He's the one I'm working for. So even if he says, go into the middle of the desert where no man is and preach, I'll go. Because he has so said, and he will find that pleasing in his sight. And God give the increase and bring many people to Christ through us. But know this, 2 Corinthians 4, Paul says, thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumph, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we're the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. to one a fragrance from death to death, to the other a fragrance from life to life. I get on my boat, I take people out on the charter business that we have. They say, what do you do for the rest of your week? I say, I'm a pastor. Some people are like, wow, really? Other people are like, oh, man, I got 2 hours with this guy. Another time, with this young couple was on. They weren't married, living together down here on vacation. Her dress was blowing up, and the comment was made she was starting to look like she was pregnant because of the wind. And then they're like, oh, no, we're not married. No, none of that. She's not pregnant. We're not married. And then you see him sit there and go, what kind of pastor are you? You know. See, we are the aroma of Christ to God. Even if we're not saying anything, people know you're a Christian. You are a fragrance of life to life among those who are being saved, of death to death among those who are perishing. But look, you cannot cease to bear fruit. So whatever you do, don't be discouraged, because God has held out for us that in due time we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Farmer plants the little seeds, and he has to wait all year long seeing nothing. But in the end, he gets the fruits. And so let's labor for those fruits in the Lord, but not despair when we don't see things, because we walk by faith, not by sight. And we got to pray for God for an open door into Cape Canaveral for effective ministry, that he open the doors into the hearts of children and parents and in Cocoa Beach, that we might have a way in and have abundant fruit ministry, even as the Lord goes with his people in our midst. And so in conclusion, I'd say, how about Jesus? Jesus, it says in the Isaiah 49, prophesying, he even felt, I have spent my strength in vain, for nothing in vanity, yet surely my right is with my God, and my recompense with him. And then Isaiah 50, it says, the Lord God helps me, he says. Therefore I've not been confounded. I've set my face like a flint. I know I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. And then God says to him that when he makes himself an offering for sin, he shall see his offspring, prolong his days, the will of the Lord prosper in his hand. He shall see the fruit of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. You know, who's that fruit? I'm looking at him. Jesus labored. He didn't see anybody was left when he died. But now look at all the few that he came to save here in church today. And you also will see as he saw your fruit. So don't despair. Don't give up courage. Keep on. And by this we know, love, that he laid down his life for us, for our salvation and forgiveness through his cross and resurrection. We also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Let me conclude then with the words of this famous hymn. Even as we do not lose heart, and we are always of good courage, stand up for Jesus, the fight will not be long. This day the din of battle, the next the victor's song. The soldiers overcoming their crown of life shall see, and with the King of glory shall reign eternally. Amen.